Right. Boy, I am excited about having lunch with you guys today. There'll be some of the folks from the 9 o'clock service back too, so you'll be able to get to meet some of those. You say, oh, I didn't know you go to church here. Stuff like that. So it's always kind of fun to see. I started just a two-week series. I'm going to end it up this week. About being thankful even in bad times, because it seemed like for the past month or so, as I went around, just so many folks were hurting, so many folks were having a tough time relationally, emotionally, financially, just a lot of different things. And it's hard for me to say, you know, be thankful, you know, even in the bad times. So I wanted to teach on it because the Bible is real clear on that we are to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not for the circumstances, but in all the circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to know part of God's will for your life, it's to be thankful. You know, for what he's doing in your life and in the circumstances. And I told you there were five reasons that I wanted to talk about, or what we can be thankful for. And we discussed three of them last week. And if you weren't here, please get you. There's some free CDs out there at that hole in the wall check-in station out there. And please pick one up and take it with you. They're free. You know, we want to give away a bunch of them. We can always thank God for what I said last week. But the first thing is that for the grace God showed me. You know, I'm really glad that I didn't get what I deserved. And God's grace says, I'm going to give you what you need instead of what you deserve. And so we can be thankful for that. And then the next thing was for the plans God has for me. What we told you last week was God's had a plan for you ever since inception. Ever since, as we used to say in Rock March, you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. He's had a plan for you. And that plan hadn't changed. There is no plan B for your life. You know, even whatever happens in your life, whatever, you know, bad stuff happened or whatever event, God says, you know what, I can use that too. In the same plan, I can use that if you give it to me. And then the third thing that we can always be thankful and we can always thank God for is God's promise to never leave me. And for me, in a large part of my life, this is the one I'm thankful for, that he never left me and he's never abandoned me. I may feel like it. You ever felt like you were alone? Yeah. But I cling to this promise. You know, I've told you before, there's 7,000 promises. You know, and I cling to, this is one of mine. You know, I've been in a room full of people. I've been here, felt alone. But I'm not. I want to give you this verse before we leave. It's one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 43:2. We read it last week, but I like it so much I want to read it again. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. You will never be alone. God will never abandon you. So if you kind of get like that, remember Isaiah 43:2. Now, that's kind of where we're at. And we're just going to talk about the last two today because I'm ready to put my grub on. Ain't y'all? Shoot. I'm ready to go. It's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, boy. Number four. I can always thank God for this, for the changes God is making in me. I can always be thankful for the changes God's making in me. Because this is some good news. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I go through, God will use it to change me for the better. He will change me for the better. And I like it because we just talked about God's not just with me. He's not just never abandoned me. He's not just with me. He's in me. He's working inside me, and he's making changes. Romans 5 says this. We can have joy even in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Well, why does that make me hopeful? Let me say this to you. When you pray, Michael Gwynn's not going to be here next week because he's headed to Nicaragua again on a mission trip. And see, my ADD's kicking in. Huh? Y'all leave for Belize next Sunday? Remind me when y'all come up. We want to pray for y'all. Is that all right with y'all? Will y'all remind me on that deal? All right, I'll get back into my sermon now. But I'm awful. I just chase rabbits all over the place. But why does God building character give me hope? Do you know why? Because character is the only thing that you're going to take to heaven with you. You're not going to take your career. You're not even going to take your reputation, your money, your hobbies, your clothes, your cars, but you are taking your character. The only thing that's going to heaven with you is you. It's you. So you ought to be working on you. So if you're not working on you, you're not taking a whole lot to heaven. Amen? You can spend your whole life, we can spend our whole life acquiring things. We can spend our whole life stockpiling stuff on earth, and none of it is going to heaven with us. Guys, we can have all kind of money and have a stunted soul that goes to heaven. Guys, do you really want to live in eternity? Eternity's a long time. Eternity's forever. In heaven with a stunted soul? If we're working on our character, it's the only one that we're taking to heaven. I mean, is that what you want to live for? The only thing you and I are taking is our character. God says that this is so important. Your character is so important that He will use everything, even our pain to build our character. Because He wants us to be more patient, more compassionate, more loving, more secure, more joyful. He wants us to have peace, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that God wants us to be built into our lives. I want to tell you some more good news. While circumstances may be working against you, and guess what? While other people are working against you, God is working in you. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him." Look at the next verse. "As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him." I can be grateful for that. Even the bad stuff that happened in my life this year, that He will use it to make me more like Him. He's going to take the bad stuff that happened to you this year and use it to make it more like Jesus. And that, for that, we can be thankful for. Well, I want to give you a confession that probably not many people know, but maybe my wife and kids. I'm not all that I should be. Y'all know that? Somebody went, "Oh!" I'm not all that I should be, but thank God He's changing me. He's changing me. I guess what I'm saying is, if you don't like me right now, hang on. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. By the grace of God, I'm getting better. And by the grace of God, I can say three things. A, I'm not what I used to be. B, I am what I am. And I'm not what I'm going to be. Not yet. I'm not what I'm going to be. He He's working in us. He's working in me. Now this time, during this time that he's working in us, those times of pain, we often feel weak, and we a lot of times we feel defeated. Am I right? Let me tell you something about your weakness and your feelings of defeat. That's okay. As a matter of fact, that's more than okay, because that's when God's strength shows up. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is another promise. You ought to keep this. This is my gift to you, I should say, because I like it. But God said to me, my grace is all you need. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I am happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. Write that down. Take that home with you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. You feeling defeated? You feel weak? You cling on to 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'm telling you, you don't know God's all you need until God's all you got. I'm talking about when you're out there and you have no emotional support, you have no financial support, no relational support. When you feel alone and you're about to go under, you feel like throwing in the towel. Anybody ever felt like that? Yeah. Yeah. You don't know God's all you need until God's all you got. And there's power in that. I'm talking power. That we have direct access. You ever thank God for that? That the fact that while circumstances and other people are working against you, God is working for you. That's something to be thankful for. To make you a better man or a better woman. And let me tell you something about giving thanks. The book of Psalms says that giving thanks is a sacrifice that honors God. Just to be thankful. That it honors God. When we pause to remember, when we just stop in our busy time and in our most, maybe even selfish times, when we just stop and say, thank you, God, for everything that you've did for me. Let me tell you something. That's a sacrifice to God, and it honors him when we stop and just say, thank you. In spite of all the bad things, I want to thank you. I love what else, I can't remember which in Psalms, but it says, remember what your holy God has done for you. It's easy to be thankful when we remember what our holy God has done for us. But we got to stop and we got to remember. We're commanded to remember, to give thanks. And this leads me to, Fred asked me about the cowboy hat. And I know some of you are thinking, man, he's taking up money again. But I'm not. Maybe something happened to you while you were here at North Point. Maybe something that Lee sang a song. Maybe it was something in your small group. Maybe it was something in kid stuff or Awana. Whatever it might be. Maybe it was a mission trip that we helped send you on, or lesson learned, or I might have said something that helped you, believe it or not. I figure if God spoke through a donkey, I ain't going to say what the Bible called it because y'all just have too much fun with it. We'll say it starts with a jack, all right? I figure he can speak through me sometimes. And so maybe there was something there. And what we've done today is, if you're going to stay and eat with us, we got some of these paper tablecloths out there, butcher paper. And we got some stuff for you to write with. And I'd love for you to write down what you're thankful for, of something that may have happened here, or why you've been going here. And it's sort of selfish. I'd like to see that God is using us here, for whatever reason. And write it down out there. And then if you want to, write down what else you think too. Just write whatever you want to. I'd love for you to write that. But I realized also that some of you can't stay for lunch. And that's okay if you don't want to eat with us. I'd like for you to write your stuff down. Write what you're thankful down and put it in a cowboy hat for me. And I want to go back because to be honest with you, this is going to encourage me. And I'm using it for personal reasons. I want to be encouraged. There ain't no other way to put it. I didn't wake up this morning and say, man, I want to be discouraged today. So I want to be encouraged. And I may share these from time to time. But I wouldn't share your name, but I really would like for you to do that. And just take a minute, write them down, and put them in here anytime you want to. You know, now, the end of the service, whatever. But wait till the end of the service, because it'll mess me up. Man, I'm telling you, I could just see me going. Then the last one. Number five, another reason I can be grateful is this. I can be grateful for the home that God has prepared for me. The home in heaven. Because no matter what I'm going through, you know, no matter what kind of pain that I'm experiencing, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care what you're going through. No matter how you're hurting, the pain's not going to last. It's not going to last. There is an end to it. And I'm going to tell you something. God has prepared a home for you in heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's prepared a home for you. I tell you, I'm grateful that this life ain't all there is. If this was all there was to life, I'd be in ultimate despair. I know we don't talk like that in Rockmart, but that was the best way I could think of it. I'd just be in ultimate despair. I'm telling you, if this was all there was to life, I certainly wouldn't be sitting up here. You know, not right now. But I'm grateful that there is more to life than here and now. Aren't you? I'm telling you, I'm grateful that this mess is not the end of the story. You know, I'm grateful that one day God's gonna settle the score, that He's gonna, you know, balance the books, or even the odds, right, ever wrong, whatever you want, however you want to say it, justice will be served. But I am grateful that this is not the end of the story. This is just not it. There's gonna be a judgment day. There's gonna be a day of heaven. Let me read you one of my favorite verses. John 14. Jesus said this. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Guys, this is an incredible promise that He has went to prepare a place for us. You know, the Bible said that God wanted a family. He calls the church the bride of Christ, that He preparing a place for His bride. And the church is the folks who have put their faith in Him. You know, not a certain denomination, but the folks who put their faith in Him. Jesus is doing this for you and I. You want to know how long God's been preparing a place for you and for me? Look at the next verse, Matthew. Then the king will say, come, you who are blessed to be my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's a long time. That's a long time to redecorate. That's a long time to get ready for somebody. You know, what will heaven be like? I get asked that a lot. What will heaven be like? Well, the Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't imagine. You and I can't imagine. I watch sometimes the TV. The TV sometimes portrays heaven as a white, colorless place, like a Progressive commercial. And I want to say, yeah, are you kidding me? Who do you think created color? The Lord did. And then I want you to think about this. Just on this earth, there is just a lot of neat things on this planet. There's sunrises on the beach, sunsets on the mountains. I love waterfalls, rivers, you know, and mountains and canyons and babies. I like babies, you know, just right out the chute. Little bitty things. I like them. You know, they're just wonderful. And But the Bible says heaven will be even more spectacular than earth. And you know, the earth is broken. And it's still pretty. It's still spectacular. It's still a neat place. This place is marred by sin. Think about a place that has no sin. Think about a place that has no sorrow, no suffering. We'll be there. There'll be no disease. You know, gosh, that's spectacular. You know, and God has been preparing it for you and I all these years because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going. Our past has been forgiven. We have a purpose for living. We have a home in heaven. This is why when I got the call this week that Lonnie had accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, Gene and them had led her to Christ in premarital counseling, and this is what we do. This is what we do. We lead people to Christ because it's the single most important thing that we can do. We're investing in eternity. This is a big deal. At North Point, we believe in one at a time. One at a time. No matter how desperate you are, no matter how much it hurts, your pain is not going to last. There's hope. There's hope. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered the heart of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And it's going to be something. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones, man. I get to see my daughter again. I get to see my pawpaw. I get to see my friends that have gone on who love the Lord. We will have no pain. We will have no broken relationships. There'll be no broken hearts. There'll be no broken promises. There'll be no tears. There'll be no suffering. Yes, that's something worth clapping about. And you give. You just give. And you know, I tell people all the time, I'm the pastor of the most generous church. They give of their time, their resources, everything. Guys, I want to tell you, the Bible says you will be rewarded in heaven according to what you've done with what you've been given. There's going to be things to do in heaven. I'm going to tell you that. There's going to be things, but it'll be a lot easier. There won't be no politics. Hallelujah. God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, pure and undefiled, pure and undefiled. I can't say that. Beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in His mighty power will make you sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting Him. So be truly glad. Not everybody's going to be in heaven. Only His children. Now everybody is created to be loved by God. Everybody. But you only get into His family when you choose. Your choice. Your choice. He gave us free will. He loved us so much. He didn't want robots that just loved Him because they were robots. He wanted us to, it's only love when you choose. And so that is the only way to heaven. I don't know how else to say that. Jesus said, if you read on further in John 14, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It's the only way. Guys, I hear a lot of people all the time say some things, and they question Jesus, the whole how He fits into everything. I'm going to tell you something. If we didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent one. We needed one. You know, God, this verse is so assuring because it says, I want to make sure you get to heaven. If you belong to me, I am going to make sure you get to go. It's not based on your ability. It's based on my love. It's based on you putting your trust in me. Now, I've been thinking about this all week. Been thinking about heaven and being thankful. And I'm winding up here. But I was cutting a yard on Friday, and it started raining on me, so I had to get on the deck. I listened to Pandora, and that song came on, that this is not your home, you know. And I started, I was by myself. So I started rocking. I said, listen, you know, this ain't my home. I started thinking about heaven. It got me thinking about heaven. And how magnificent that it must be. But I thought as I was standing there on that under that deck and by myself that you know, if I could talk to Wayne Woodring right now, and Leonard Pratt, and I thought of Jamie Middleton, and I thought of my mother-in-law, Cheryl. I thought of Jimmy Colbert, what he might tell me. I thought of Jimmy Colbert, too, because I thought, he won't be shaken in heaven. Parkinson's don't exist. Not in heaven. I think Jimmy Colbert would tell me, he called me Preacher Jim. He's Preacher Jim, you were wrong. Heaven is much better than how you described it. It's much better. You say, Preacher Jim, I ain't got the words to describe it. No eyes have seen. No ears have heard. No, not one. On the backside of your outline, we often suffer. But we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again. We know that God raised the Lord back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and will bring us into his presence together. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles we see now are temporary. But the joy is to come, will last forever. That's worth the glory. That's glory. Well, I don't know where you're at. As far as your walk, I don't know where if you're a Christian or not. I don't know whether if you're a believer. But if you could settle this issue right now if you'd like. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Today's a good day to do that. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to get ready to baptize Lonnie. After we baptize, I'm going to ask the folks to get up and we're going to pray over them. We're going to pray over the meal. I'm going to ask you to go on and eat. I love the fact that you think you got to wait on me, but I don't want you to. I really don't want you to. It'd just make me mad if you do. If you want me to break in line, I'll do that when I get there. I like breaking in line. It gives me a little bit of source of power. But anyway, but I do want you to know, if you'd love to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I invite you to do that. I'm going to ask Lonnie to go on back when I pray, and we're going to baptize her. And guess what? If you've already accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and never followed through in baptism, we can do that today too. It's a good day. It really is. We can be thankful today, right? I don't care what you're going through, we can be thankful. If you're going through some really tough times, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Let's pray. My Lord, I am thankful. I am thankful for the relationships that you've given me over the years. And I look forward to seeing them. The ones that have gone on to be with you, I look forward to seeing them and having a big time. Can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see my kid and my granddad. I can't wait to see the place. Just see the place. Because if it's as good, if you know Glacier National Park's beautiful, I can't wait to see that. Lord, there may be some folks today that they haven't settled this issue with you. But they want to. Lord, they may come down and want to pray today. So I pray for Fred and Scott and the others that will minister to them. Lord, I thank you for Lonnie and her acceptance of you as her Lord and Savior this week. And Lord, after all this, we're going to eat. We're going to celebrate and give thanks. And it will honor you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.